You'll turn to 1 Corinthians 13 today. Title of the message is More Than Words. More Than Words. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 1 says, Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity or love, that word charity means love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can move mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me what? Nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. It doth not behave itself unseemingly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Had somebody in the adult class, won't name the name, said they have a problem with anger or getting with a temper, but they're working on it. How many of you have got to work on this and if we'll work on it? Amen? Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endureth all things. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall cease. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen. For we know in part, and we what? Prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, how do you know Jesus is coming? Then that which is in part shall be done away with. We're not going to worry about it then. Hallelujah. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. And when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now I want you to notice verse 11. As we grow in Christ, our talking, our thinking, our reasoning changes and makes room for the fruit of the Spirit and for the gifts of the Spirit so they can flow through our lives. Can you say amen to that? For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall I know even as I am also known. And now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Father, we thank You today for Your wonderful presence in this room. We thank You, God, for such a powerful week. Every night we heard from God. Lord, You shook this place. You spoke to us. You changed our lives. And Lord, You are not finished yet. And today we invite the Holy Ghost to continue to move. Thank You for the Word. And may it change us today as we yield to Your leadership and Your power. God, have Your will in our lives in Jesus' name. And thank You for anointing the Word and anointing me to preach it. And we give You glory. And everyone said, amen and amen. More than words. Matter of fact, on the screen, I want you to just say it with me, if you will, this morning. More than words, but the next frame also says, I will love Jesus more. Say it with me. I will love Jesus more so I can love others more. Say it again. I will love Jesus more so I can love others more. And I want to just pay it this way. I will love Jesus more so I can love you more. Not just others, people I know. We want to love Jesus more so we can love each other more. This chapter is known as the love chapter. These verses tell us what love is and what love is not. God inspired these verses of Scripture and spoke them through Paul the Apostle, and he spoke them because of major problems in the Corinthian church. Do you know what the theme of the book of 1 Corinthians is? The theme is church problems and solutions. The whole 1 Corinthians. Church problems and solutions. We've had some problems over the years, but Jesus always had the solution. Can you say amen? And he still does. The Corinthian church had major problems. There was a division in the ranks. They had a wrong idea of what Christian maturity was. They had a problem of incest and church discipline. There were lawsuits taking place between Christians in the church. How many of you would like to go sit beside somebody in church that's trying to sue you and take everything you have? That was happening in 1 Corinthians. There was a problem of sexual immorality, rampant in 1 Corinthians. They had a presumptuous overconfidence as well. So a lot of pride had come in. A lot of problems had come in. And so Paul had to address all these things and more. I'd like to be a New Testament church, but not necessarily a 1 Corinthians church. Anybody else? So he had to address all of this. And in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, that is 1 Corinthians, he reveals 6 biblical truths to help them, to help turn the church around. And I'm only going to mention 2 of them today. Principle number 1. You who are united with the Lord, conduct yourself so as to bring honor to Him. In other words, honor God through your conduct. That was a big leading principle that Paul taught to Christians in 1 Corinthians. Second principle, do everything to bring glory to God. Do nothing that might make others stumble or might disqualify you from the race. On the screen, here's what it says. Live right, act right, please God, and stay in the race. That's what he's trying to say to the Christians in the 1 Corinthians with all those problems and more that we've already touched on this morning. Live right, act right, please God, stay in the race. Listen, don't get discouraged. Are you with me today? Don't get discouraged. Don't quit. Don't give up. The best is yet ahead. This is no time to turn back in your walk with God. This is the time to move forward in your relationship with Him. Hallelujah. Now, though this love chapter was written to a church that was in trouble and was immoral, the principles found in chapter 13 are for the church today, and it applies to our lives and our relationships with each other. If we took just this chapter and really put forth the effort to let God work and live by this, what we hear, see and read and hear today, our relationships would be changed. Amen? Is there anyone here today that has a friend, a spouse, a fellow believer close by, maybe even in church today, that you'd feel comfortable telling, saying to them, I love you? Is anybody close to you feel comfortable? Say, I do. Stand up. Her birthday's Thursday, I think. I want you to know again, I love you. I love you.
I love you too.
Now, how many of you raised your hand and said, there's somebody right, I can turn to somebody right now and tell them I love them. We should be able to tell people that we love them in the Lord if we're believers. If there's somebody here you can turn to and tell, I love you, I want you to do it right now. I want you to do it. If it's 2 or 3 or 1, say it. Husbands, you ought to be saying it to your wife. If you don't, shame on you. Wife, same way. I love you. You that are dating, don't get too mushy with this now. All right? You're looking for a husband? Be careful. I love you. A lot of people say that too freely and too soon today in their love relationships. But as a believer, we should be able to say that to one another. Amen? So point number 1 is this. Love is more than words. I've heard you have too, and I hope it's a joke, where men have said, well, I told her I loved her when I married her, and I don't have to tell her anymore. I told her then. Wise up. You need to tell her every day. Amen? Men, I hope you're listening. Verse 1 said, Though I speak. You know, when you tell someone you love them, you are placing a demand on yourself. Brother Bracken, I wish you'd have told me that before I turned around and told them I loved them. When you tell somebody, I love you, you are placing a demand on that love. Though I speak, verse 1. Though I speak with tongues of men, though I speak. That word though means while. It means although. But it also means granting or allowing it to be the fact. The fact that. Let me give you an example. Now, this is an example. It's not what's really happening outside, you can tell. Okay? Here's the example. Though the sun is shining, and I wish it was, it's still cold outside. This week, I remember a day the sun was shining, it was so pretty, but when I went outside, it was cold outside. How many of you remember some days like that? So the sun's shining, but the fact is, it's still cold outside. See, we must admit that without love, what we do for others does not amount to much. Matter of fact, what we do, according to the Scriptures, if we don't have love, the proper love in there, it means nothing. And I am nothing. If love is just words, that's all it is, according to the Scripture. What we do and say means nothing. Another example, a whale. You turn on the water spigot, and we place a demand on that whale. We place a demand on the electricity. The pump begins to pump the water, and it pumps it into the tank. And then it pumps it through the line, and then it comes out of the spigot into my glass or into my cup. I place a demand when I turn that spigot on. When I say I love you, I have just placed a demand on my love toward you. My love for you. How many of you can receive that and understand that today? See, I have just placed a demand on what I say I have in my heart toward you. I've had others, even in this church, many years ago, and I remember, I found out later, some of those that hugged me and said, I love you, Pastor Bracken, doing a great job behind my back were trying to destroy me. Back in the early 90s. I thought they were for me. It didn't take but a year or so to find out they were against me. And some of you were there and you know what I'm talking about today. It's easy to say I love you when you really don't. Come on. Do you see the power of words? When you say, I will go to the store for you, you've placed a demand on what you have just spoken. So you better get the keys, get the list, get in the car, and go. You've placed a demand on yourself when you say that. We must demonstrate what we speak when it comes to saying, I love you. Love doesn't run from people. Love runs to people in need. Amen? Love. My. The Christians in Corinth were saying they were Christians, but they could not stand each other. Well, I don't want to be in that church, do you? They couldn't stand each other. Their actions demonstrated the opposite of what they said. Have you ever known someone that professed to be a Christian, but their actions told you everything but? And you can judge the fruit in a person's life, can't you? My. So the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to tell them what love is and what love is not. And I want to read 4 through 7 again in the New Living Translation. And listen to what he says. Love is patient. Some of us are already in trouble right there. Love is kind. You don't kick the dog. Love is jealous or is not jealous or boastful or proud. Love is not rude. It does not demand its own way. Well, it's my way or the highway. You don't like it? That's tough. That's not love. Come on. Are you here today? Love is not irritable. Especially, anybody ever get irritable? I pray you don't stay that way. See, love is not irritable. We get irritable sometimes. If we stay that way, we're in trouble. And so are the people around us. Love is not irritable and it keeps no record of being wrong. Love does not keep bringing up the past. Come on. In marriages, in relationships with our children, dear Lord, I could write a book, Raising Children. Anybody else? I could write a book on offenses I feel like my kids have made. Will anybody be honest to say the same thing? But I can't go back there and I can't live there. They're not the same as they were as teenagers. And thank God that they're not. It does not keep a record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Never loses faith.
is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. I tell you, life is hard. Tomorrow, will you admit that with me? Life today is harder than it's ever been. Not so much physically. Sometimes I think we'd be better off if we all lived back on the farm. But life has so much stress and heartache and pain and suffering, and everything's so fast-paced, and everyone's demanding something from you and from me. And the pressure and stress is greater than it's ever been. And I'm telling you, sometimes you just have to bite the bullet. Anybody understand what that means? Sometimes you have to just bite the bullet, forgive each other, and move forward. Hallelujah. Somebody on this side should have shouted me down, and you're next. Amen? I love my wife. And really, we've had a great marriage, soon to be 43 years. And we've not always agreed, but we've never had knockdown dragouts either. And the things we disagreed the most sometimes were things over our children. Can anybody relate to that besides me? We've worked through a lot of hard times. I've been in the ministry for over 34 years. But I'm telling you, that journey as a father, a husband, and a pastor has been very difficult. I want to be honest with you today. And it's the same way with you. But you know what? I love her. And I believe she loves me. Don't you? No, I know she does. And I've always felt I could go through just about anything as long as she's with me. I have him and have her support. I can go through anything. And there's times just being close enough to touch her or to hug her or to even touch her hand while we sleep has helped me to be encouraged. You know why? Because that's love. And it's not easy to keep loving when you struggle. It's not easy to keep loving when you and your husband fuss and fight and argue and escalate in conversation. It's not easy when you've been hurt or offended by your husband or your wife or your child or someone you love dearly. It's not easy to keep loving them. I mean, we need to tell the truth this morning. It's not always easy to love, but it's necessary. It's necessary. It's not easy to love people who've abused you and hurt you and taken advantage. But it's necessary that we do. Dear Lord, love. Love is patient. Patience is the capacity to be wronged and not retaliate. Kind. The response of love when wronged is kindness. I'm not going to be kind to him, but he's kind to me. Well, she can come to me and make things right. I didn't do anything wrong. That's not love. That's arrogance and pride. Amen? I see conviction on a bunch of us today. Love rejoices in the truth. Face the facts. Deal with them. Take God at His word. And let's get some things resolved. And let's move forward in God as a believer in our relationships with one another. Can you say amen? Love protects, love trusts, love hopes. This is love demonstrated. Loving behavior for some of us has been demonstrated for us through our parents and through our family members. I came from a loving, caring family. My dad was hard to love, and he didn't show very much love. About 3 or 4 months before he died, he did. He accepted Jesus. And he treated me like a totally different person than I'd ever had my whole life. I tell you, God knows how to change a heart. Many times, an attitude of love has been instilled in people by those who have shown a genuine interest in them. Also around us, where we work, where we shop, where we go to church, are people who did not grow up experiencing love and acceptance. Shirley gave some testimony Wednesday night. And by the way, we had three young people come to the Lord Wednesday night service. Can you give the Lord a hand for that? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How she came from a loving, caring family. And my family's close. Our sons and daughters, and we're very close. My sisters and I, we're close. Always been a close family. But not everybody has that, especially today. Either mom or dad has been absent, or drugs or alcohol, or was present, or is present. Smoking weed or cigarettes, foul language, possibly even pornography or incest, which was mentioned in the Corinthian church. Those things are present in more homes than we realize today. Can you say amen to that? The absence of love and affection has left its mark on so many people. And they have convinced themselves that there is no hope for happiness and no hope for a good future. But how many of you know that is not true? There are some who believe nothing will ever change. But not so when Jesus gets involved in your life. Not so when His love overwhelms you, covers you, and when God fills you with Himself, everything changes. If you've never been loved before, get ready. Jesus will love you until you cannot resist Him any longer. He knows how to love, and if we know Him, we need to learn how to love if we don't already know how. Today, things are changing. I love that. It's not in my notes, but I've always loved Jeremiah 29:11. Have plans for you, says the Lord. Plans not to harm you or to hurt you, but to bless you, and to give you a future, and to give you a hope or an expected end. Who do you think He's talking to? He's talking to every one of us that's gone through hurt and disappointment. Every one of us that's had relationships where we thought we were loved when we found out we weren't. He's speaking to all of us who have come from homes where the love wasn't there. But He's also talking to all of us who had that love in our family, because God's love is a higher standard of love, a higher degree of love. Hallelujah. I like Luke 4:18, and we preached out of that recently. It says, and Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And if you fit any one of those categories this morning, Jesus said, I have come to deliver you. I have come to heal you. Jesus came to set you free and to heal you of the bruise that has held you back. Acts 10 and verse 38. Are you still with me today? Acts chapter 10 and verse 38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him. That's a powerful, powerful verse. He healed all that were oppressed. Say all with me this morning. All. See, Jesus cares about the whole person. He cares if you're being oppressed. He cares if you're depressed today. He cares about everything that's happening in your life. His love will work. And when you and I love each other genuinely, it will work. It will work. Jesus loves you. You believe that? Jesus loves you. He'll forgive you. He will help you. He'll help you forgive those who've hurt you and let you down. Thanks, Sister Faye. You believe that? Whether you believe it or not, so. He'll help you forgive those who's hurt you and who have hurt you and let you down. Love reaches beyond the offense and just keeps loving. Now, sometimes you have to step back and decide how you're going to handle that. You can keep loving. Sometimes there's tough love. Don't have time to go there. Like you've had to have with your kids to help them grow up to be the kind of person they should be. But I'm telling you, love works. Love works. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. I mean, God's pretty strong about me loving her. About you loving her, your wife. Colossians 3:19 says, husbands, love your wife and be not bitter against them. Do you know the Bible says if there's something wrong between husband and wife, that it can hinder our prayer life?
And I think he mentions hindering the man's prayer life because the man's supposed to be the head of the home in the Lord. My. 1 Peter 12 and 2 says, love one another with a pure heart fervently. 1 Peter 1:22, I believe it is. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart. Pure heart. We can through Him. I tell you, you have to work on that. Come on. Brother Bracken, I believe, I know I love everybody, but there's some people that are just harder to love. And some people are easy to love. Don't you wish everybody was easy to love? You know, Jesus dealt with people just like we do. He had to work through all of that. He came and was in the flesh. He had to demonstrate His love to everybody, no matter who they were. My. Love one another intently and intentionally is what He's saying. You have to choose to love that person. Love one another intently and intentionally. The next two verses show what will be manifested in you and me as we walk with the Lord. See, when you get right with God and you keep serving Him, this is what will come out of you over time. Is there anybody right with the Lord today? If you're not, you can get right, you can get right with Him exactly in the place where you're sitting today. If you're right with Him and serving Him, this is what's going to come out of you over time. Hear those two words, over time. Some of us have been Christians a long time and we've learned to love and work with people no matter what. There's some new believers or some that hadn't been saved as long as you. And sometimes because they don't love with a degree or forgive as quick as we do, we think they're not saved. But it took you a while to get there and it's going to take them a while to get there. Come on. Over time. Over time, these things are going to be seen in your life. No matter what your past or your upbringing has been. These things will be a part of you when you are in Christ. They are called fruit of the Spirit, the product of growing in Jesus. Are you growing? What blesses me more than anything is seeing people grow and mature in the Lord, not just the numbers. You can have a church full of people who shout and dance and sing and do all kind of things, and they leave here and live like the world out there. There is no spiritual growth. They just like the worship and the singing, and they enjoy coming here, but their life doesn't line up out there. And I'm not interested in that. I want to see people grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I'm called to do as a pastor, is to tell you the truth when it feels good and when it doesn't. Tell you the truth when it steps on your toes and when it doesn't. Tell you the truth so you and I together can become who Jesus wants us to become in Him. This is going to come through your life in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. When you love Him and you love others and that's being manifested, fruit begins to come through. If the fruit of the Spirit's not there, I wonder if you are there in Him. Amen? If I'm there. You may say, I don't know how to love. That's okay. The Lord will love through you and He will teach you how. He's the best teacher you will ever find. I hope our marriage can be an example to others. But I want to tell you, what's caused our marriage to be great, what's caused us to keep loving, is because we've learned what the love of God is all about. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 4:8 says God is love. So if you don't love, you don't know God. First Peter 4, 7 through 11, New Century Bible, listen to this. Are you ready? What's this powerful? The time is near when all things will end. Jesus is coming.
So think clearly and control yourselves so you will be able to pray. Most importantly, love each other deeply, because love will cause many sins to be forgiven. Open your homes to each other without complaining. Each of you has received a gift to use to serve others. Be good servants of God's various gifts of grace. Anyone who speaks should speak words from God. Anyone who serves should serve with the strength God gives, so that in everything God will be praised through Jesus Christ. Power and glory belong to Him forever and forever. Amen. I tell you, it's hard to love someone deeply and genuinely if you haven't forgiven them. Who is that someone in your life? Husband, wife, friend, child, your boss, minister, pastor? Who do you need to forgive? Is it mom, dad? The Bible says to love your neighbor as yourself. It may be that you need to forgive yourself. Amen? You may need to forgive yourself for your failures, your sins, your wrong decisions, or even for your attitude. Love yourself, he says. The more I love him, the more I love Leo. If I didn't love me, I wouldn't comb my hair, brush my teeth, dress up in a suit, and wear a blue shirt. Some of you have been getting after, Brother Bracken. You wear white all the time. Wear something else. So I'm trying to dress a little different. I don't know if that helps the anointing or not, but I'm really working on it. Sometimes you have to forgive yourself. I've had so many blunders in my life as a Christian. I've missed my opportunities at times to help people. I've had a wrong spirit and a wrong attitude, and I've had to forgive me, because if you're not careful, you can put yourself down to where you can't do anything for God. Amen. Love yourself. How do you do that? Luke 10, and I'm almost to a close. Luke 10 and 27. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. When you love Him like you ought to, when you fall in love with Jesus, when you love Him with all your heart, it's easy to love your wife, it's easy to love your husband. When you love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, it's easy to love that child that's in rebellion. It's easy to love people who's hurt you. If you love Jesus with all your heart, you can love that person. You can love your neighbor, because as you've loved Jesus, you've learned to love yourself. And if you're going to take care of yourself, there's going to be a part of God inside of you that wants to help take care of somebody else. Come on, give Him a hand. I believe that this morning. Hallelujah. When you love Jesus, you can love others, and you will. When you love Jesus, you will love yourself. So what did verse 7 say in the New Century? The time is near when all things will end, so think clearly, control yourself so you'll be able to pray. Most importantly, love each other deeply. We've got to grow in our love for each other, even in the church. Love each other deeply. Put Him first. Put Him first. Anybody hear that? Put Him first. How many know that God loves you? How many of you really know that? See? God loves you. How can you not love somebody that loves you? Some people have kept asking you how you're doing. Some people have kept praying for you. Some people have kept witnessing to you if you're not living right, because they love you. And you've gotten irritated by it. I wish they'd leave me alone. But God is using that to get your attention and to speak to your heart. God loves you, and He loves you enough to keep putting people in your path to let you know He's not forgotten you. Dear Lord, forgiveness of others and of self begins with a choice. Your choice. You choose to forgive.
Love begins with a choice. You choose to love because He first loved me. Jesus loves me. This I know. Not just because the Bible tells me so. I know He loved me because I experienced that love in my life. As I close, do you need to change your attitude? Are you ready to be healed of the past? Are you ready to be loved so you can love others? He's always loved you. Now God's just saying, let me demonstrate it. He demonstrates by forgiving us, doesn't He? He demonstrates by wrapping His arms and calling us His sons and daughters. Are you ready to be loved so you can be loved? Have you ever just basked in His love? Has anybody ever just got caught up in the presence of God and just knowing that He loves you and cares you so much, cares for you, just didn't want to leave? Raise your hand if you've ever been there. Just didn't want to leave His presence. If you'll stand with me, please. Galatians 5 says the fruit of the Spirit is really what we experience in Christ. So we have to make a decision. That decision, and I have to say to myself, is today I'm going to change. You have to make that decision and say, today I'm going to change. God can do anything, but some things He won't do until we cooperate with Him. Today, I'm going to change. Today. Today. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Wow. Today, you have to say things are going to change in my life, my family, my finances. I've been saying that every day. I told you the story last week, I believe, of Monday, 2 weeks ago now. Today, things are going to change. Walked in this morning, I think Mary, this Mary, got two Marys here, and I think you said that. Today, things change. This morning when I spoke to you, I don't know if you remember saying that. You did. Today. It's a brand new day. What needs to change in your life? What needs to change in your marriage? What needs to change in your relationship with others? What needs to change? What do you need to change? Today, things are going to change. God, I thank You that today change is here. It's change in my life, in my family, in my finances. If you're here today and you're sick, why don't you just begin to say it? Today, things are going to change in my health. God's going to touch me today. If you're carrying hurt and anger, bitterness, whatever, today, God, I make a choice. Things are going to change. I forgive because You love me, I love You, and I love him or her. Father, thank You today for Your marvelous Word. Thank You that the Word never changes, but it'll always change us if we'll let it. And this morning, God, I know that the anointing is in this room. Lord, as we begin the month of February, the month that's called the Love Month with Valentine's Day and special things toward Valentine's, Lord, You're our Valentine. You're the greatest gift we've ever received. Lord, You're better than anything or anyone else that's ever been given to us. And we have hope because of You. Now today, Lord, as we've read 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, I thank You for us deciding this morning that we're going to live that. We're going to walk in that. We're going to practice that with the help of God. If there's anybody in your life you need to say I'm sorry to, you need to tell them. If they're here, you need to tell them here. If they're not here, you need to go to them and say, I'm sorry I hurt you. I'm sorry I've not loved you like I ought to. Please forgive me. Forgive one another. Love works. Love works. Father, thank You today. Today, God is changing me. Love is more than words. It's more than words. We say it so freely, and so many times it's just words. Is there anybody here that's ready to say, I love You, Jesus? If so, I want you to tell Him right now, out loud, all over this house. Ready? Go ahead. I love You, Jesus. Come on, tell Him again. I love You, Jesus. Tell Him again and again. Come on. I love You, Jesus. I love You, Jesus.
You know why you love Him? Because He first loved you. Oh, hallelujah.